My name is Pat W., and I'm an alcoholic. And my wife just reminded me, I have some notes. My wife just reminded me that I have 15 minutes. So, I heard a little thing back a few years ago, which I suppose is appropriate tonight. It's a little ditty, and it goes like this. I love a finished speaker. Yes, indeed, I do. I don't mean one that's polished. I mean one that's through. If I make it through in 15 minutes. And those of you who I saw in Griffin last week, when I talked, you're going to get part of the same talk, because I only have one story. And that's mine. I'm grateful to be here tonight. I'm grateful that you asked me. I'm grateful that I have all of the things that I have today. I've been sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I used to say, with uninterrupted sobriety of 11 days, 6 months, and 15 years. It has been interrupted, but not by a drink. There have been a hell of a lot of interruptions in the 15 years, but it wasn't necessary during that time to take a drink or a sedating or tranquilizing pill of any kind. I have nothing new or startling to say. I'm not reading from notes. I'm just nervous. I have nothing new to say. Everything that I've said before and tonight and since was said by somebody else or read somewhere. It's not original with me. So I thank all of those people, and I'm grateful for those people who have been able to share with me. I said in Griffin the other night, and I feel that way tonight, when I get up at an AA meeting to talk, I feel kind of like a mosquito in a nudist camp, you know? Because I know what my job is, I just don't know where in the hell to start. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous means to me. And it's wonderful to be sober for a long time. In many, many ways. But it's, in one way, it's a little bit unfortunate, because everything you say and everything you do reminds you of something else that somebody else said or that somebody else did, and you can't get off the podium. But I'm going to try to keep it to 15 minutes tonight. Before I got to AA, I came out just briefly qualified. I suppose I could qualify best by saying that both my mother and father are very heavy drinkers if they aren't alcoholics. My youngest brother is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for 4.5 years. And my middle brother is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for 1.5 years. I have an uncle who's a Catholic priest who's my sponsor, who's been sober for 18.5 years. I have a cousin and other cousins in Alcoholics Anonymous. The woods seems to be full of my people in AA. So when I used to say that I was raised kind of in a tradition of music, my father and mother always went out good as a fiddle and came in tight as a drum. Always. So it was not unusual for me to do it. It was not unusual for me to have blackouts, because they had blackouts. I didn't think it was out of the ordinary at all. I didn't think it was out of the ordinary to fight when I was drunk, because my father always did. And I didn't think it was out of the ordinary to manhandle people, because my father and my mother always did. So I was in big trouble and deep trouble long before I knew it. But because of my conditioning, it took me a while to find it out. And I came to AA, I suppose, by a power of example that my uncle was able to give to me. Because when I first saw him, after I got out of the service, he'd been sober about 6 months and I don't have any coffee. And he was a changed individual at that point. He was absolutely physically changed. I saw him when he was on the bottom, when he was tripping over vestments and staggering across the altar and through the church, and I don't exaggerate a bit. I firmly believe he at that time, the same as myself, then and now, only do better when we know better. He didn't know any better, so he couldn't do any better. And a lot of times today, I do things that aren't right, that are wrong, but it's not until it's discovered that a correction can come about. And that's something that I learned in AA. I learned that you can't find anything out till after it's happened. That's a big discovery, but it's very simple. When I came to AA, what I'm leading into is fear. I had a lot of fears. Fears of everything. All kinds. And it reminds me of a story, as a lot of things do. And it's not a, I suppose it has a humorous connotation, but it's a little bit ironic. There was a gentleman a long time ago who was a servant, and his master asked him to go down to the marketplace and purchase some provisions. So he went down to the marketplace and he made all of his purchases, and while he was standing there, someone jostled him. And he kind of looked off to the right, and standing there was Death in her black cloak and all her bones. And to be quite frank, it just scared the hell out of him. So he raced on back to the master's house, and when he got there, he said, "Master," he said, "I was just in the marketplace, and I was jostled by Death, and she made a threatening gesture to me. And he said, if you'll give me your fastest horse, I'll get on it and I'll leave Samara and go to Baghdad, and there Death will not find me." So he got on the horse and he took off. And I guess he got to Baghdad. And later that afternoon, the master went down to the marketplace himself, and he saw Death there. And he went up to Death and he said, "Why did you make a threatening gesture to my servant this morning?" And Death kind of smiled. And she said, "That wasn't a threatening gesture. It was just a look of surprise, because I had an appointment with him tonight in Baghdad." So those are the types of fears I had, and I usually run from one place to another, and it was just as bad when I got there as when I left, or the place that I left. So Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a lot of things. It's given me a way to live. Now, I've said this before at meetings, and if you've heard it, I guess you're going to hear it again, that my wife and I have been just recently married, 5.5 months, and she knows this. I'm not telling anything out of school. She's not a very good cook. And on occasion, she's pretty good. For Christmas, I gave her a Betty Crocker cookbook. Now, she's had cookbooks before, and she's cooked things, and she's baked things, and she's done very well. And usually it's because she follows a recipe. She follows a formula. And she does all right. Now, in the business of living one day at a time, since I've discovered it, Alcoholics Anonymous is the finest formula on the face of the earth, bar none. Conceived by the mind of man through the grace of God. There's no way for me to have come from where I was to where I am, but it's happened. That has to be a miracle. A miracle in which I had a very small part. And I hear people sometimes say, well, AA doesn't work for him or her, and I agree, it doesn't, because AA doesn't work for me. I work AA, and if I don't work it, it won't work. This is something that I have to do. It's something that I have to bring about as a result of my action in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't like being up here tonight. I've done it many, many times, and I get awful nervous. I don't get as nervous as I used to. So that's progress, I guess. But this is a formula, and formulas don't do anything. We do the formula. We do what the recipe says. When she does what the recipe says, she gets a good cake, or she gets good beans that she brought tonight. But if she don't follow the recipe, it's lousy. It's bad. And the same thing is true of my life in the business of living. A few years ago, I was transferred from the town I started AA in. And I was very close to those people. And I was transferred to a bigger town. A lot more AA, but I didn't like any of it. Didn't like any of it. Went to a lot of groups, started a lot of groups. I can't say the same thing about Georgia, however, since I've been here. I feel particularly at home at several groups, which is, I suppose, a good pat on the back for the higher power, because I'm not usually that way. But I felt most comfortable in Noonan. I felt most comfortable in a couple of other groups that I've been in, and I felt the most comfortable here, because I see some enthusiasm here that I have neglected to see in other places, and I like enthusiasm. I like people who are glad they're sober. I like people that it doesn't look like they're carrying a rat around in their pocket, you know, that they're afraid that if they smile, that their face is going to crack, you know. This is nothing to be unhappy about. This is something to be happy about. But when I went to Peoria, I had a hell of a time. Because I've been going to a lot of meetings, and I was very active in AA, but for a couple of years, this has been maybe, this was in 1968, so it's been 7 years ago. I was sober 8.5 years, but I hadn't been working the program in a year or year and a half, maybe 2 years. Just been doing a few things, but going to a hell of a lot of meetings. So there's a lot of difference between action and activity. I was not using the action of the AA program, I was just very active in the fellowship, in the meetings. And I had a hell of a time. And I got out the book, and I kept reading the book, and I couldn't get any answers. And it kept coming back to me about practicing these principles in all my affairs. And I kept asking myself, what principles? What principles am I supposed to be practicing? I think my wife is waving at me because the 15 minutes is almost up. What am I supposed to be practicing? And I had a hell of a time. Because I couldn't go up to everybody on the street that I met and said, hello, my name is Pat Wheeler and I'm an alcoholic. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life is unmanageable. I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit down and take a daily inventory written where it tells me to do it in the fourth step. Did the principles mean the steps? Are the steps the principles? Am I supposed to sit down every day and rehash everything that I've done when, to the best of my ability, I've done it? Am I supposed to go around the country looking for people that I've harmed daily? I don't think so, but maybe I am. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. If I did all of these things, I wouldn't have any time to live. And that's why I'm here, because of a living problem. And AA has given me the living answer. So I came up with something, and it was enough for me at the time, and then I run across something else later. When I worked the first step and admitted I was powerless over alcohol, then my life had become unmanageable. I had at long last found the courage to call everything by its right name. And I was practicing the principle of honesty. I was being honest with myself and with others. When I worked the second step and I came to believe in this power greater than myself, that he could restore me to sanity, I began practicing the principle of hope. I had a little hope in life, a little hope for better things, materially, spiritually, physically, everything. When I worked the third step and I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him, I was practicing the principle of action, taking action to bring about the things that I had neglected all of my life. When I worked the fourth step and made this inventory, I was practicing the principle of courage in all my affairs. When I worked the fifth step, I was practicing the principle of integrity. I didn't like doing what I did, but it became necessary, either that or drink. And I didn't want to drink. So I went to somebody else, and I laid all the dirty linen out in front of one guy, and was able to get some help. When I worked the sixth step, I began practicing the principle of willingness, being willing to do something, something for somebody else, maybe. When I worked the eighth step, I began practicing the principle of loving kindness, brotherly love. And that I never had too much of, as my brothers, both my brothers who are in AA, can attest to. We've become closer in the last year and a half and 4.5 years than we ever were before. ninth step, I began practicing the principle of self-discipline, something which I've needed all my life and never had. Don't have it today, but I do occasionally. When I worked the tenth step, I began practicing the principle of steadfastness of purpose, having one purpose, to remain sober and to help others achieve sobriety. And everything else falls in place, everything. And that's as a result of my experience. People told me that, but I didn't believe it, but it's true. When I worked the 11th step, I began practicing the principle of unity with all life. When I was out there in the drinking world, I was separated from God, from good, and from life. And I found since I've come into AA that I've been unified with God and with good and with life most of the time. When I worked the 9th step, the 12th step, I began practicing the principle of service. Service to other people, service to myself. And when all of these principles are given unity and meaning and purpose in my life, love of God, love of myself, and love of you, then in truth, they become the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for me, by which I can and have, by the help of God, live in comfortable sobriety one day at a time. The business of living. I don't practice these principles or any principles perfectly. I'm not up here as a perfect AA. I'm not up here as a spokesman for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm sober today by the grace of God, nothing else. And if you like what I said, that's fine. If you didn't, that's fine too. I've come to be able to accept that. I'm just about through. I didn't think it would run this long. I have a little acronym. You all know what acronyms are? Maybe not, because I never knew what the hell they were until somebody mentioned it to me. An acronym is, I don't even know, it's an abbreviation of the first letters of a term. Like, these are acronyms. Q, Health, Education, and Welfare. HUD, Housing and Urban Development. NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, CETO. The longest acronym, though, is Alcoholics Anonymous. And I heard this in a talk that a guy gave. A life centered on helping others live in comfortable sobriety and new outlook now yielding means of useful service. And that's why I'm here tonight. I'm here by the grace of God. And I thank you people, not for what I am, but for what I feel like when I'm here with you.